Good evening, and welcome to Digital Lumber Radio. It has been brought to the attention of Digital Lumber Radio that in our previous episodes, we have not been serious enough. In fact, we were too humorous. Therefore, we have made the decision to switch to this new format. Today, we will be discussing the recent release of Night Quest, what does and does not make a fan film, and of course, the ever-popular Ask the Panel. I would now like to introduce my fellow moderators, Mr. Christopher Hannell, Esquire.
How do you do?
Mr. J. Gabriel Whitlock.
Bully!
Mr. Louis Peter Stephen Genesius Phelan.
Abraham Old Bean.
And myself, Abraham Wilson Paterka the First. Now, Mr. Phelan, yes. Your thoughts on Night Quest?
Well, as far as Night Quest goes, I like to quote a true dear friend of mine in saying, "It's a Doberman!"
Oh, man.
Was that serious?
I could not do that stupid British thing for much longer.
Oh, boy. Boy.
Welcome to Digital Lumber Radio.
How's it going?
Hello, everybody. My name is Christopher Charles Hannell. I'm at the mixer board today for episode 5 of the ever-continuing saga that is known as Digital Lumber Radio. And as we've got our introductions out of the way, we're going to be talking about Night Quest, as you probably all guessed. It's at 100,000 downloads at last count.
We don't get that many.
9,999 of those are Chris.
Yeah. What can I say? I love my cable modem.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about Night Quest. We're going to be talking about the definition of a fan film, as it's been brought up by a couple people with the latest additions to the ever-growing library.
And do-do-do-do, ask the panel.
Yes, and let's get that right other way.
Hey,
we've
hey.
Got many questions for
so
our
we've
panel.
Got letters.
Steve?
We've got letters. We've now, got sacks and sacks of letters.
Letters, yeah.
Now, I want to point out, before we do ask the panel, that last week, Steve and I requested that people who were in Iowa, in the surrounding area, send us resumes and pictures if you were an attractive female who's an actress, because we really are going to do the parody of Charlie's Angels for Star Wars. We're going to call it Yoda's Jedi.
Abe.
So, you really need to send those in.
I don't have any. I'm sorry.
You don't have any what?
I have no resumes in my mailbox.
Oh, man.
There's no females in Iowa. They're all gone.
That's my problem.
God.
Dude, anyway, I'm married. Pack your bags, Abe. We're going.
We're going. Dude, to where?
Dude, I'm married.
Delaware.
Woohoo.
Hi.
I'm in Delaware. So on with the show.
All right. Ask the panel. Justin, Abe, Steve, are you ready for the brain busters?
Let's do this.
Okay. Question number one comes to us from Andekin from the Forest.net boards. If you could classify the formula as a fruit or a vegetable, what would it be?
Squash.
A cantaloupe.
Why a squash, eh?
Oh, because it's cool to say.
We're a squash.
Because squash is kind of funny looking.
Well,
that fits
but
right
once
in.
You once
looking.
You bite into it, it tastes really, really good.
Well, this was Arkansas.
So
I
like
call it a pumpkin.
The implications of that are something I don't really want to go into
well,
right
you
now.
Asked.
Good that's in, bet that's out. Good that's bet.
Well, okay. How about you, Steve? What do you think? Fruit or vegetable?
Fruit or vegetable?
Well, I don't know if you had to. If you had to choose between the two.
I would have to say a cantaloupe. I don't know why a cantaloupe, just a cantaloupe. You ever notice how, you see, when it came to the teaser trailer that we did, I was surprised at the feedback that we got from people. I did it, I was like, okay, I think it's good. I always become numb to the work that I do because I see it so often, but apparently people liked it. So I guess in a sense it's more like an inverted cantaloupe. Do you know how cantaloupe actually smells better than it tastes?
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
As far as this all went, I was thinking that everything was going to suck, but everybody thought it was pretty good.
Hey, there you go. So
really weird analogy, but hey, yeah. We're done.
Well, okay. Next question comes from Nick Shorty Long from the Forest.net boards also. Why are there so many more Star Wars fan films than Star Trek fan films?
Star Trek sucks.
Oh. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the opinions of Justin Whitlock do not accurately reflect the opinions of Digital Llama Radio.
Yes, they do.
Hey, Abe, Steve, any comments on this?
I guess because of the star. Are you Steve or are you Abe? No.
Okay. Star Wars fans are doers.
Star Wars fans are doers, and no, because Trekkies are doers too. Maybe they just don't have access to cameras.
No, I true. Understand. No, I know
maybe
why.
It's because okay, there's no
wait,
Star Trek.
Wait, Justin's net. Thinking. Maybe we should acknowledge this.
Smell smoke? No, really. This is why there are no Star Trek fan films, because they can't stop making television shows. They're what, on their fifth different show now?
You
got Star Trek, Next Generation, Voyager, Deep Space Nine. Yeah, this new one is their fifth show. Yeah, that's why there's no fan
but
films.
But you know what? I've heard this new one with Scott Bakula is actually really good.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah.
I've heard
it's
that.
You haven't actually seen it.
Yeah. You've been too busy with, you know, filmmaking.
I actually did see the first one.
Oh.
Pardon me, I got a call.
Where'd you find
it? Hey, I would like to interrupt my colleagues and realize that we know we're talking about Star Trek in a lengthy period of time.
Okay. Yeah, you know, my opinion on this, how many people have the time and energy to build a really cool-looking Enterprise bridge?
Or how about this? How much better would a phaser fight be from a saber fight?
Uh-uh. That's good.
Saber fight.
Which would you rather do? A really cool lightsaber duel or a political debate?
Okay,
on the
you know what? Our answer is we don't know.
A qualified maybe.
Yeah. Maybe there's just too much. You don't have that forest
the
genre.
Is 42.
Because every fan film would be
next. Next question from this. Actually, Jace Taran sent in a couple of them to us, and I had to pick a couple of them. And this one kind of interesting because this is kind of what we do. When people are criticizing a movie, they provide constructive criticisms. At what point does it go from being constructive to just being whiny and nitpicky?
Wow.
Let's ask Mr. Spleen.
Hello, Mr. Spleen.
Mr. Spleen, would you care to comment on that?
No.
Well, there you have it.
That'll do. honestly, I'd say we don't know.
Yeah, we...
It's a very tough balance, I think, when you're making constructive criticism. I guess the more broad your criticism is, the more applicable that it is to the entire piece... the better that it is. The more that you start to zoom in, for example, like, you know, one with the lightsabers changing colors, you know, that was probably getting in towards the nitpicky thing as we talked about, you know, cancer with lightsabers and
yeah,
the whole nine yards.
That kind of stuff.
That's getting into nitpicky. But, you know, if you were standing there and, you know, the lightsaber effect was 4 feet away, then maybe that's not, you know, nitpicky things don't work. You know, is nitpicky not having reflections on Vader's helmet? Yes. But I'll fully admit that because, you know, that's my pet peeve. So, yeah, no.
Okay, then.
Well, I have an answer for that question. I think, honestly, that the difference between nitpicky and constructive criticism is when you give constructive criticism, you're giving a solution to a problem or giving them another option.
Have you ever given constructive?
Nitpicky, why, what?
Have you ever given constructive criticism?
I plead the fifth. Anyway.
What Bill of Rights do you have in this radio show?
I'm bigger than you.
I guess that's
anyway, I honestly think that constructive criticism is when you're giving someone a solution to a problem and helps them with their movie, and the nitpicky is when you just say, I didn't like that, so I'm going to whine about it for a few minutes.
I don't know.
So the real answer is when we're right, then it's not.
Then it's not, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. But when we're wrong, then
when we're right, it's constructive criticism.
And the final question, also from Jace Taran. Just wrap this up. Just what is the secret of Monkey Island?
I'm going to leave that to Steve.
Chirp, chirp.
It's all about the spanking. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And there you have it. Yeah. So, wow.
Time to close up the old CBS mailbag.
Hey!
We've got letters. We've got sacks and sacks of letters. Letters!
Be sure to tip your waitress. I'll be here all week.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Hey, wonderful. Now to our next part of the film.
All right, okay. So we've got that out of the way. What's next?
Do you want to do the quest or do you want to do the deep philosophical discussion?
You know what? Deep philosophical discussion scares me right now. Justin's like on a roll. And I don't want to go up against him right now. Let's talk about Night Quest.
Okay.
So we've watched Night Quest and everybody's watched Night Quest. As I said earlier, it's up to 100,000 downloads.
That is a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, congrats to them. No matter how good or bad the film is, 100,000 views on your film without being released in a major theater. I mean, props to you.
Yeah, but would you say that has a lot to do with the year of hype that it got? I mean, the trailers, 2 years of hype. I mean, that will have a lot. Word to mouth. Hey, this is coming out. You got to check this out.
Yeah,
and finally, it's out.
Yeah.
But honestly, Justin says this was a good movie.
Yeah, this was.
It was all around well done. The story was good. The effects were good. The Vader was good.
Who the heck do you think you are, Caesar, talking to yourself in the third person? What the heck is that?
Justin says it's
a good film.
You know, I'm just trying to do a job here. Sorry, it's okay. No. It's stressful.
Now,
Maximus, bow before. For your Caesar.
Now this this film was entered in an Australian Film Festival, and it actually lost to another film, George Lucas and I, and a lot of people have been kind of questionable about that. Now, this film was by no means perfect. Like any other fan film, it had its weaknesses, but I think it carried itself really well through those. The first thing that we kind of noticed, the acting was pretty strong overall.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and especially the old man. Karina was really good.
What was her brother's name?
Danik.
He was kind of whiny, but he was still okay.
You know, I mean...
Vader was good, too.
Vader was
excellent.
I mean, both the Ben...
Ben Fletcher.
Ben Fletcher. awesome voice.
Yes.
And the actor, I can't remember his name right now, the guy that was actually in the Vader suit, not the physical acting.
I don't have my cash.
Man, because, you know, the fight choreographer for the group, physical acting is so taxing. Mm-hmm. So incredibly
taxing.
Especially
when you don't get to use your voice to support it.
He did a great job.
Very cool. And what else were we talking about? We were talking about the fight choreography because, you know, we're anal about that.
They had some excellent computer animation sequences that were just guffawing. My goodness.
The film was as exciting as anything.
Exactly. And I think the big props, the best part of this film, besides the all-around coolness of it, I think the best job they did was their whole space fight scenes and their back and forth. I thought that was the best part.
And they put the music with it perfectly. The music
was mixed very, very well.
Good usage of the music.
And Joe Monroe, the director of this film, did an excellent job with making sure that everything stayed paced along that. The timing with the fighting and the music and everything was done very, very well.
And it didn't leave you hanging. You weren't standing around waiting forever. And even when they did the dialogue stuff, they had good camera moves, and there was something going on. People were actually moving around, and you weren't like put to sleep by the dialogue.
When Vader and Danik and Ulick are standing together, and they're in the middle of the fight, we kind of have this thing about dialogue in the middle of a fight.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
We'll send this over to Abe.
Here's my thing. Okay. I know that you have to get story element out. I know that plot lines are an incredibly powerful thing, but here's my beef.
A sword fight
is a fight to the death. Somebody's walking home to see their kids, and somebody's going to be bleeding, headless or chopped in half on the ground. You don't have a frickin' discussion in the middle of a sword fight. Zoom, 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 zoom. So, you will turn to the dark side while I talk for another 10-15 minutes or so while you all wait there and don't attack me because I'm in the middle of a dialogue sequence. It's like, he's talking to, what's his name, Ulick or
Ulick? He's talking to Ulick.
He's talking to Ulick, and the kid's standing right behind him going, dude, yeah, okay, I'll just wait. No. You should turn to the dark. Good, I'm finally getting that stupid... Dude is dead. Yeah. Oh,
that brings up a really interesting point because, I was watching my new DVD episode 1 yesterday, and I noticed that. I mean, if you watch it, really pay attention. Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon do not say a single word at all. The only thing that Darth Maul hears out of their voices is Obi-Wan screaming "No." So you've got to.
I'm not trying to say anything bad. Don't take this as bad like about your movie. Everybody does it. Almost every fight scene I see, they're talking in the middle of the fight scene.
Even in major films.
Except
they're talking. Stop talking and kick his butt. If he starts talking, lop his head off because he's not paying attention.
The dark side of the boom.
The dark side is so much boom. What? Vader's dead. Here's my classic thing. This is my best example of this because we talked about Mask of Zorro, that we love this movie. I love this movie. Great.
I still haven't seen that.
This is the part that points out my point the best. He jumps. He does the bullwhip thing, lands in the balcony, beginning of the film, puts his sword to... Raphael's throat. Anthony Hopkins has got his sword point at Raphael's throat and does the little Z in his throat, right? Yeah. And they have a discussion yet again, and he goes, you know, you would kill 100 innocent men just to capture me. And the bad guy goes, you would hurt 3 innocent men to capture me. And the bad guy goes, I would kill 100 innocent men if it meant killing you. And he lets him go. I'd be like, oh, really? Right through the throat. Good. I don't have that on my conscience anymore.
But you have to see that I will point out the objective.
Of course, the movie would be over then.
That he's got the sword to his throat, and any one unnice movement would make him dead. So there's a point where you can talk.
But that's what I mean.
He should have just finished.
He should have just killed him. I would kill 100 innocent people. Really? Well, I don't have that on my conscience. I don't have to worry about 100 people being dead because
we're off the beaten track here.
Sorry, I can't help it. That just drives me nuts.
You made an excellent point there. Another thing I have to discuss on this, the ending of this movie seems to go on a bit.
You mean the poor endings?
Quite a few. Well, it was like the AI of fan films. There's been so many places it could have ended.
There's been some talk. Chris was telling us there was some talk online that this movie could have been shorter. Now, I think it was good.
Yeah.
It's easy to see where there could have been. It's like, oh, we could have ended there. Oh, okay, more story. Oh. Okay, I'm fine with that. But you're right. It could have.
And you can tell it's stuff that they wanted to keep. It's stuff that they worked on hard.
I mean, it's cool stuff.
Yeah, Karina's acting at the very end is really cool. The whole monologue talking to the tombstones or whatever you want to call those pile of rocks or anything. But I mean,
those grave are sites.
Grave sites.
Chris.
Empty robes and unlit sabers. Now my master's dead and gone.
Please don't give these people more fuel to start asking for Formula the Musical. The
right.
Yeah. Everyone keeps asking for Star Wars the Musical. I don't want to do it. Stop giving them evidence. God.
You know, I look pretty good in a red shirt and white tie.
Les Mis is screaming.
One thing I do want to say about that fan film, though, I mean, there are definitely a few things that we all thought were weak.
Yeah.
But why not go George Lucas on this? What if the creators actually went through and nitpicked a little bit more, refined and detailed some of the animation, cut a little bit of time out of the movie, figure out where things started to slow up, make it a little shorter,
Nightquest,
a little more
edition.
Crisp, a special edition, re-release it. I'd like to see what they would do if they were to go ahead and take the opportunity and refine this film.
One thing I think that would really tighten up the ending, Karina's monologue at the end at the grave sites. There we go. Got the word right.
Yay!
If they were to take the video that we see after that and just put that over that, then you get her speech and you get that whole exposition at the end.
Yeah.
And you need to see a
shot of them swimming too, like swimming, playing in a pool,
playing
Monopoly.
The remembrance.
Yeah, the little remembrance.
Yeah, the playing basketball.
Playing basketball.
The part where she cuts off his hand. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jumping rope.
Jumping rope.
What was the brother's
Danik.
Name? Danik. You know, like Danik doing Julius dishes Danik and the two of them laughing at him. You know, things like that.
Yeah. That was, I'd like to go back to that. That was one thing at the beginning where they get in an argument and then they whip out their sabers and start fighting each other.
I had a problem with that.
Yeah, that should have been, I think it would have been a little more understood if their master, what was his name again?
Ulick
would have stopped them before the saber, stopped their arguing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danik sometimes gets a little bit, you're just like, would a Jedi even say that, you know?
Yeah.
We'll be the best Jedi ever. Well,
but here's the thing.
Anyway.
Here's the thing, though. See, and I like the fact that they've... He's a snot-nosed brat.
He is.
He's an absolute snot-nosed, my poop doesn't stink brat. I mean...
you can write it off to them being siblings as well.
He's a jerk, but he's not a jerk in a mean way. It's a jerk, I'm the little brother and I've got to prove that I'm better than you type thing. Yeah. So, of course, he's going to be,
So you're saying even Jedi can have complexes like that?
Well, Jedi...
He was not a Jedi. He was a work in progress.
He was a Padawan.
But I think that it would have been. I think it would have been a little bit better writing if she would have looked more like she were defending herself as opposed to saying, "Bring it on, you little twit."
Nerf herder.
Nerf herder.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't saying that. That's not what she
I liked the nerf herder line. But anyway, I guess for me,
that was a good
it's
line,
just an acting thing. The characters are more believable the more human they are. And if we only ever see Jedi as these totally. Stone people who never react.
I totally agree
yes,
to that.
The Jedi aspires to emotion doesn't rule me. That doesn't mean they don't feel emotion. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful, beautiful scene when he's got to leave them and he says, "You have to go. You could be the best of us, but if you're dead, it won't matter." Mm-hmm. And she hugs him and says, "I love you." Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful scene.
It is a great
scene. Not that Jedi don't feel emotion. They're not ruled by it.
They're just at peace.
Beautiful scene.
I just think that sometimes it can go a bit too far with some other.
Well, maybe
they've been taught
wrong.
Their whole life that's not good.
No,
you know?
I agree. It's a good point.
So that's a excellent debate to bring up. So, anyways, Night Quest.
Props.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Excellent.
Yay.
Excellent.
Cool. Thumbs up.
Welcome to a new generation of fan.
We want to see more of the pilot. She was cool.
Yeah, she was awesome.
I like
Karina.
We should do a movie of just the pilot.
You know, I would suggest to them, if they haven't already thought about this,
so
they should
everybody,
do
it. As it's obvious, Chris and Steve really liked Karina.
Yeah.
And I really liked the pilot.
Tara.
Tara ruled.
I really think this is a piece of advice for them. If you want to continue with this, you guys did a great movie. And I think maybe you should continue on and do a second episode, maybe continuing the adventures of the pilot.
And like I said, try refining it.
Yes. I just want to say that Imperial officer guy was really funny.
Oh, he was.
Run!
Run away!
I'm going to run away now.
We were watching that, and we saw him duck, and we're like, dude, he really is an Imperial commander.
There's no spine there.
Talking about Night Quest and talking about a sequel possibly, I do have an announcement to make. This is the first time that has been public. We had a request. The people that made Tunis, you guys remember Tunis. Mm. They have announced, and this is public for the first time, they are going to be in production soon on a Night Quest parody called Day Trip.
Day Trip.
Day Trip.
Oh, dear.
Yes. I cannot what's going to be happening with this, but if it's going to be as good as Tunis was, Tunis won a couple awards at that Australian Fan Film Festival, I think that we have a good fan film on its way.
Holiday Road!
Which brings us... Which brings us to a great transition to our discussion. Chris and I were talking earlier this week about something that Jeff had mentioned. Go ahead and start to tell us.
Well, we were talking, I was talking with Jeff Yankee, Azeem, as you all know him on the Forest.net boards, about that the definition of a fan film. For example, some people believe, like, for example, George Lucas in Love is not a fan film because it has actually nothing to do with the Star Wars universe. And therefore, George Lucas and I is not a fan film because it has nothing to do with the actual Star Wars universe. It has nothing to do. Now, a lot of people then extended this a bit further. Jeff was saying that some people might consider Troops not a Star Wars fan film because it's, in essence, a parody. It's not trying to add to the Star Wars universe. It's trying to spoof it. Does that make Tunis not a Star Wars fan
film? So, now, before we leap into it, what we wanted to discuss was get each of our four opinions on this. Now, my opinion on this is that Jeff's theory that a movie that does not directly add to...
Well, I can't say that that's Jeff's opinion directly.
But the concept that a fan film is only a fan film if it's a serious film that adds to the canon of the Star Wars universe, I feel that's untrue because of this point. The technical definition of a fan film is simply a movie made by Star Wars fans about Star Wars or using the Star Wars genre.
In homage to.
It's just... it says it right there, fan film, a movie made by fans. Now, that's the definition of a fan film. So technically, our movie, Night Quest, Tunis, Dual Flakes, whatever, are all
Duel of the Fates.
They're great!
Well, they are, but you know.
Duel of the Fates, whatever. But they are all fan films. Now, if you want to put fan films into categories, there are what I call canon fan films, which are fan films that add to the history of Star Wars.
A Question of Faith, Night Quest,
Dark Skies, things of that nature. Things that are a movie that's its purpose is to increase the history of the Star Wars universe.
Now, see, now you get into an even fuzzier issue because Dark Skies was
Don't think of canon as what actually happened. Just use it as a term this is Star Wars universe. The next category is parody. Things like Tunis, or, you know, parody or spoof.
Or us.
Or our movie. That's category. Well, our movie really goes into the third category that I have, which is a meta theater piece, which is we are making commentary on the making of the fan film genre.
So where would George Lucas in Love fall?
Lucas in Love would also fall into the meta theater
piece. Makes sense.
They are all fan films. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them is a fan film because they're movies made by fans. It's what category do they fall into. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion on this.
It's like a template.
Very cool. Very, very
and
well stated.
We'd all make more opinions, but when it comes to the theater thing, Abe just makes us sound stupid. So, I agree totally. I think it should be.
I was an English minor, too.
Yeah, I think. I believe that. I think it's very important to understand that it's everything's really fan films. It's all about. I mean, if you hate Star Wars and you can't stand it, you make a movie that really bashes the whole thing, I would say that's not a fan film. But
is it a movie made by fans using the Star Wars genre?
Not
yes,
if you hate it.
It's a fan film. It's a fan film. What category does it fall into? Probably a parody.
Well, I was making a comment. It's okay. I'm going to be quiet now.
Maybe it's a new category, hate film.
Hate films. Hey, let's see some hate films out there. Yeah.
Oh god.
Ignore that.
Crime coming on. Steve, any thoughts on this at all?
I think it's really simple. I think it's just a, like you said, a fan film. Film made by fans. A tribute or a film of jest toward, you know, any certain genre of movie.
Film of jest.
Not just Star Wars. I'm sure if you wanted to, you could make Terminator fan films. You could make Tarantino fan films.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting excited over here. Tarantino.
Your father's lightsaber.
But in the end, also, I like to add the fact that it's all experimental, too. It's kind of a base of independent film, which in a sense is also, of course, a tribute to George Lucas, because he's about the ultimate independent director there is right now.
Yeah. Well, considering he does everything pretty much out of his garage, if you want to think about it that way.
The garage of his ranch.
Yeah. It's nice to have money.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, my thing is I just don't want to see... I like the idea of categories because, one, you know, technically it's grammatically correct, but...
But two, I don't think it's fair to belittle things like Tunis or Troops or mm-hmm. George Lucas and Love. Fabulous movies, yeah. Incredible movies. They're fan films.
Troop was awesome.
Yeah, no, they don't fit into the history of it. So what? It's about Star Wars. I saw George Lucas in Love. I loved that movie. To say, well, that's not a fan film. That's not fair. It is a fan film. It was made by somebody who really loved Star Wars.
Heck, to say that would be naive. I mean, it broke new ground.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
You know,
I mean, George Lucas in Love is one of the films that got everyone's attention.
Yeah, and started them going. So absolutely, 100%, it is a fan film. It falls into the category of meta theater piece.
Wonderful.
I think to sum it all up, you should know. And I mean, it's really really basic. If you make the definition any bigger than it really is, mm-hmm. you deserve to be hit on the head.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And
to all you people,
and there you have our totally unbiased opinion.
Ow!
Interesting theories.
No, that's not it. I think they should be. Oh shoot! Oh, oh, ow, ow!
And now for something totally different. There you go. That was it.
All right, let's go on.
And now back to something same. All right. So anything else that was on the plate today? I don't believe that I had anything on the table.
We finished our last. Fight scene
today.
For the formula. Woo! And let me tell you, people, it looks
intense.
Steve has a new camera trick to inform everybody on. What is your camera trick?
Which camera trick? Oh, the
rolling chair.
The rolling chair, yes. That's more Abe than anything. I just kind of...
Yeah, Abe is...
But you're
Abe
the camera
the
guy.
Held
so
the reins.
Yeah, he held on for dear life.
Okay, it was funny.
Yeah, he fell over once.
I flipped over. I'm like...
The only thing is we got a rolling chair and we stuck Steve in it because we really wanted to be able to do these smooth rotating around them shots. And it works great. Get a rolling chair, stick your camera guy in it, and have somebody that pulls it around. Oh, it works great, but I threw Steve off one time. He's just like, wah! And the camera's like, save the camera!
And my right arm just goes, boom, right into the air. I'm like, oh,
Steve once told us when he was up on the ladder, he says, if I start to fall, you don't go for me. You go for that camera.
Yeah. You know, I will have to make Steve feel a little better today because you realize the last fight scene today also signifies the last chance you're going to have to get kicked in the nuts. That also did not happen today, so props.
During one of the montages.
So everybody, sure. So
I'll be
for
wearing
the
cup
three or
for
four
the rest
of you
of the production.
For the three or four of you that are actually looking forward to seeing the formula, it's almost done. You know, filming wise.
Oh boy, I don't want to talk about editing.
December 2005.
So we're, you know, we'll shoot
around the same time NetQuest 2 comes out.
We're going to shoot for, you know, late December, early January.
That's
where we're thinking.
We should just even stop saying we're shooting for anything. We should just do, like, some more trailers.
I'd like
all of a sudden people be on the, oh my god, it's out!
Yeah, in fact, Justin and I had a new theory about shooting a film.
We're going to shoot, you shoot the entire film, you get it done, everything. Then, a week after you're finished with the whole thing and it's ready to go up, you say, coming 6 months from now. And then you drive up all the hype and you don't have to worry about it. You can just sit back there and watch
it. You spend a week driving the hype going, you know, in 6 months, this will be released, and then release it next week. And people go, wow, I can't believe they got it out that fast. This is an amazing film.
And then
good.
And then it gets leaked to the net and it ruins everything.
Yeah, well, I'd like to go back to our shot today and give props to the MAC, Midwest Athletic Club,
Woo!
For letting us use their aerobics room.
Incredible.
We had a little bit of trouble today. We didn't realize there were mirrors. There's always mirrors in a rogues room. We went inside there, and there's mirrors on three walls.
Oh,
we looked around there and did the fight scene. We had about 480 sabers in the background.
Dude, I walked into that room. I was like, I'm walking into my death.
And let me tell you, because when we have the lightsaber effects put in, the guy that's doing it is going to hate us.
Because there's reflections left and right.
I mean, like, you see a shot, and there's at least 8 reflections of a saber in a mirror going by, and I'm like, nope, you better do every single one! Because if I'm going to go on Digital Lumber Radio and I'm going to complain about the fact that I won't put it into a reflective floor, if we got mirrors, I better not see a single stick on that wall.
Because it's going to be your ass. You're the one that brought it up.
That's
hey,
right.
And we didn't break a single saber today either.
Yeah!
And we were hauling today.
Anyways, we just hit our half hour mark, so we better wrap this up quick. Justin, some beatbox, please.
I am Steve. I am Abe.
I am confused.
So, we're gonna leave you tonight. Good night from Digital Llama Radio.
Bye.
Bye.
Are we off?
I don't know.
Is that it?
Dude,
oh,
it's
man,
still on.
That was, oh, good episode.
Oh, what a great show.
Is that, are we off?
So, yeah, we're
anyway,
off.
Anyway, about
that
girls.
Chick.
Wow! God, I want the pilot. I